The Sendak Fellowship was established in 2010 as a residency program for artists who tell stories with illustration. The fellowship offers the time for artists to explore their craft outside the limitations of everyday life and in the relative isolation of a rural setting. This summer, the fellowship is moving to Scotch Hill Farm, formerly owned by Maurice Sendak in upstate Cambridge, New York. Two fellows have been provided their own fully equipped cottage with a kitchen and studio space and receive a fellow's stipend. Well, this year, Sendak fellows are Nora Krug and Harry Bliss. Harry Bliss is a syndicated cartoonist and cover artist for The New Yorker magazine. His self-titled single-panel cartoon, Bliss, appears in major newspapers across the United States. Nora Krug received a Society of Illustrators Gold Medal, and her illustrations have appeared all over the place in The New York Times, Los Angeles Times, The Guardian, as well as Vanity Fair. She is an associate professor for illustration at Parsons, the New School for Design, and it's a great pleasure to welcome the two fellows, Harry Bliss and Nora Krug. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah.
Very nice to have you here. So how do you get yourself involved in this? Is this something you apply for, or is this something they tap you on the shoulder and say, you would be great for this? How does this work out? Harry?
Joe, I have no idea, actually. I think there's a nominating committee, part of the Sendak Fellowship, and they sort of nominate, pick out certain illustrators who exemplify the storytelling and picture book making. And I think former fellows also have something to do with nominating the up-and-coming fellows for this. But
And how much prior to this were you aware that this existed?
Well, I was a visiting fellow before I became a fellow, which meant that I would go to Sendak's home in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and meet with the other fellows and sort of look at their work and show them my work. So that, I think, was probably around 2011 or 2010 when I first started doing that. Mm-hmm. They had asked me to do that.
And you have that same experience this time, Nora, right? A visiting fellows coming in for you guys.
Yes, we have one person coming, and we have a few events also that we're doing. We're doing a reading on Thursday night
at Bat and Kill Books.
At Bat and Kill Books.
Yep.
And so it's a good combination of small events that we're doing, and also just really being able to focus on our own projects and working and in this very beautiful rural setting that is ideal for writing and drawing. And
I mentioned it a little bit. You get the studio space. You're in Cambridge. It's a beautiful farm, beautiful place that Mr. Sendak purchased many years ago. And so this is so when you take up shop there, is it just the solitude, the isolation that allows you to concentrate on whatever it is you're working on?
Yes, I mean that really helps, just being away from your normal environment and not having to worry about, you know, doing the laundry all the time or fixing stuff in the house, but just really focusing on your project and also, of course, you know, spending time with the other fellow. It's been very nice talking to Harry about my current project and other projects and finding out how he works, because our fields are quite different. And it's been very interesting talking to him about cartooning and how he comes up with ideas. And so that's been inspirational as well. So it's really a combination of all these different things for me.
I found this fascinating because you both come from somewhat of a... you more from a cartoon background, Harry. Nora, you more from a comic background, I guess.
Editorial
mm-hmm. background. So this is it's different than what we would think of as a standard book illustrator.
Yeah, I mean, I started off actually doing... Both of my parents met in art school back in the 50s, late 50s. So I began actually as an editorial illustrator in the 80s, the late 80s and 90s. Then I moved on to book jackets, mm-hmm. and then ultimately ended up doing cartooning. So I guess I ran the route there of all different things, but I ended up cartooning. And I guess 1997 I did my first cover for The New Yorker, but And then all in there, I did picture books. You know, I've done 17 picture books. So did that answer your question?
It did.
Okay.
Well, illustration.
I'm going to take up a, use my card for a follow-up question, okay. But we're going to hear from Nora first. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that illustration is just a huge field, and especially with the change of the editorial field and the print medium, young illustrators have really tried very hard to redefine what it means or could mean. At the Parsons School for Design, where I teach, we really try to cover all these different areas, so that would include things like children's books, editorial illustration, comics, but also toy design, children's toys design, collectible toys, illustrations in three dimensions, such as set designs, for example, animation. So there's really a huge, you know, range of things you can do as an illustrator.
Do you come in to this knowing, oh, okay, this is the opportunity and this is the project that's perfect for this 2 weeks of letting me just sort of do what I need to do?
I'm just completely obsessed with one big book project that I'm working on. So I'm actually trying to say no to as many other things as possible in order to, you know, to move along with this project, which is an illustrated family memoir about the Second World War and my own family history. I'm German, so I'm exploring the history of my grandparents and also the question of German identity for Germans of my generation. And I don't know, I'm just, you know, this is the only thing I'm thinking about when I wake up and go to bed, basically. So that's what I chose to work on here as well.
And for you, Harry?
You know, I'm feeding the chickens on the farm and chasing dogs around. I'm cartooning for The New Yorker each, you know, every week I have to send in my 10 cartoons, my batch.
Right.
So I'm doing that. I also am working on a picture book, which is fun, which it's called my favorite pet. And it's about a sheep, so it's appropriate to be on the farm and do a picture book about a sheep. But yeah, primarily that's it, just cartooning and working, dummying up a book, we call it. But I'm getting great ideas for cartoons. Just being around, we were in Saratoga Springs, and I used the backdrop for a cartoon. It had a family with a little boy, and the woman's looking at her phone, and she says to her husband and her son, according to my Facebook posts, we're having a fabulous time in Saratoga Springs. So it's kind of funny, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
we'll
see.
We'll see if it flies.
See if, and you'll submit that into your batch. It'll go over. We've had Bob Mankoff on the show many times. So
oh, yeah.
He'll go through that, right? Is that how that sort of works?
Yeah, Bob goes through the cartoons each week, and I get the okay at the end of the week, or I get rejected.
Whatever. Yeah. And typically in a year, how many do you publish? This number always shocks me when I hear.
Well,
this
I also, in addition to The New Yorker, I'm published 6 days a week through Tribune Media
right,
Services. So that's I do at least 365 cartoons a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now
every day there's a cartoon.
I have to know. Okay. But how many get published in The New Yorker in a year?
Oh, in a year, I probably this year I'll do maybe 25.
All right.
If I'm lucky.
Okay. So maybe like half the time.
Yeah.
Like every other. Yeah. Okay. So then, if you submit 10.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one gets it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the nine, can they be the syndicated cartoon?
That's exactly what happens.
Okay.
They end up going into syndication. So
all right.
It's a win-win. Except the really irreverent cartoons go to Playboy.
and they're still buying cartoons. And
Hefner still looks at, he still checks out the batches and looks at them. So, and of course there's an independent newspaper in Burlington, Vermont called 7 Days.
Yes.
And they publish the more irreverent cartoons that I do.
And that's great. I mean,
yeah.
But it's limited, right? I mean, you have a limited,
Because there used to be a lot of places that would publish such cartoons, and now
A bit disconcerting. Yeah, that back in the day, you would, the New Yorker cartoonists would take their batch around to the various publications and try to sell them. You know, Collier's and Saturday Evening Post and the New Yorker and all. But it's true. It's diminishing. But there's the internet, and there are other venues, I think, and other venues will turn up for cartoonists.
And as far as the cover art goes, is that an assignment that you often get ahead of time, or does that just come? Oh, we would like this for this week's cover.
The only time we get requests for cover images is when there's a news story that's breaking. That's a big news story. If Vidoma law passes, or Osama bin Laden. Well, when Osama bin Laden was killed, we got an email that said we need a cover right away, and we all send in covers. But for the most part, we just do our thing and send it into the magazine, and hope that they like what we do, and that's it.
So you've done a lot. I've noticed a lot. You do a lot of bunny rabbits.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it seems on the cover. I've noticed that when.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I've done a couple Easter covers. Yes. Yeah. Bunny rabbits.
Covers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so do you become like the go-to guy then, or is it
for bunny rabbits?
Yeah, the go-to bunny guy.
I think most of the covers that I do feature architecture. So, and that's something that I'm
which
trying
is beautiful.
To,
you do really.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I think Manhattan is filled with some of the best architecture I've seen. So, it's something that I like to depict on the covers.
Nora, how do you describe your work?
Well, I started out doing mostly editorial work, so for magazines, newspapers. For example, the New York Times, our bed page, I've done a lot of illustrations. I've illustrated a children's book called My Cold Went on Vacation. And I have done a graphic novel, and in recent years, I've been working on a series of short comics that describe the lives of people who've experienced war. For instance, one was about World War II kamikaze pilot in Japan who survived the war, the kamikaze attack, because of an engine problem with his plane, and was able to swim to a remote island in Japan and stayed on this island for a while, was finally picked up by a Japanese submarine and brought back to the base. And he knew this time he has to die. He has to go back on this mission, and he's going to be killed. And on the way back to his mission, he had to change trains in Hiroshima, and he got out of the train, and it was the day after the atomic bomb had been dropped.
Wow.
But he didn't know. And he walked around, and he swore to himself in that moment that he will never be involved in another war. And he also realized that, that he survived. I mean, that was the end of the war. And I'm just fascinated by these histories and biographies of people who, because I'm interested in war and what war means. I feel like we have a very limited understanding of it. I mean, especially the wars that we are currently involved in, we know so little about them, really. And I'm just interested in exploring what does that really mean on a human level? How does it affect us as humans? And that's also why I'm working on this family memoir about World War II right now.
Your work is very, and I use this as a complimentary word, because I realize that it could be taken otherwise. But they're very busy. There's a lot going on in much of your work. A lot of color, sometimes a lot of language, a lot of words, and by design, I assume to have sort of a lot to look at.
Yes, I mean, I think I've moved a little bit away in recent years, but it's true that I have done that a lot, and I think I'm also influenced by old Japanese prints that integrate seamlessly, words and images. I mean, their language obviously is more pictorial than ours, but I try to kind of break the separation between images and words, and that goes both for the graphics and for the content of my work. I really try not to replicate what it says in the image, in the text, and I think a lot about the relationship between images and words. And I try to combine them graphically also on the page. But I think with the current project, it really depends on what I want to say. I mean, some pages are going to be a bit emptier, others are going to be busier, depending on the atmosphere I'm trying to evoke.
Well, this is, it's very cool. This year's CENDAC fellows are Nora Krug and Harry Bliss. They are going to be at Battenkill Books on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and they're going to be taping a book show with me. So that'll be really fun. We'll sit down in front of an audience and do pretty much exact. This was a dress rehearsal for for Thursday night. No, I'll actually come up with new questions.
Great.
and your homework is to come up with new answers.
Okay.
It'll be great. 7 o'clock Thursday night, battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com, and you can find out more information. And we'll tape the book show, and we'll have a great night. It'll be a lot of fun. It's wonderful having you not only here in the studio, but in my hometown, and it's lovely to have you around, and we'll look forward to seeing you Thursday night.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.